The language of the fifth dimension is perceiving an energy. It's direct knowing. It's part of what I teach. Everything that we do here needs labels because we're all perceiving in blindness. Without direct knowing, without perceiving an energy, we rely on the labels to help us flounder around in the darkness and to tell us where we are. That's why the more trapped people are in the third dimension, the more they need those labels. And the more problem they have with those who don't have labels on them, or those who don't use labels, because they can't perceive an energy yet. So perceiving an energy is just knowing. It's hard to put into words because there's no vernacular for the dynamic. But when I work with people, I work with the direct knowing and perceiving an energy, and I teach them how to perceive an energy. And they get annoyed with me a lot when I ask questions like, do you feel this? Do you feel this in your gut? Does it feel right in your body? Does this resonate with you? What I'm asking them to do is to awaken those subtle senses that we all have, but that have been turned off. Because we've all been in primal mode for so long. In primal mode, you don't need to discern. In primal mode, there's just one choice: fight or flight. So all the subtleties of direct knowing are not used, and they're lost, and the ability to use them is lost. The closest thing we have is a gut feeling or a feeling in the body. And that's a huge gauge for people to understand how to perceive an energy. So listen to that gut in everything you do. As a matter of fact, don't do anything unless it resonates, meaning that you don't get any funny feelings at all in your body. No, like, should I have done this? Should I have not done this? Don't make any moves unless it feels right. And a good way you can exercise this is just by explaining it. Like, you'll have this teenager who'll say, Mom, why can't I go? Why can't I do this? Why can't I do that? And they want answers, and they wear you down because you can't put it into labels. Well, get your child used to the phrase, it doesn't feel right. I don't feel comfortable letting you stay overnight. I can't tell you why, but I get a knot in my stomach, and that's telling me something. So you can also teach your children how to use their own instincts, their subtle instincts. Like, teach them how to pay attention to their own senses in that way. Like, Do you get a funny feeling about going? Does it feel right to you? And do it when it's not something they really, really, really want. Something that they're on the fence about. Of course, they'll try to use that for a while. Like, if they don't want to do something, they'll use the excuse, it doesn't feel right now. So you have to, like, learn this together, because you have to call them when they're just manipulating you and using that. But sometimes it really doesn't feel right. Like, even starting the day, when do you get up? Do you pop out of bed with a directive and an agenda? Or do you lay in bed for a while and remember your dreams and get a sense of how you feel about the day? Because the energies in the world are swirling around and changing all the time now, all the time. I never know how I'm going to wake up and how I'm going to feel about the day. I can think it's going to go one way, but then I'm bombarded by different things like people who need help or little problems or maybe a perfectly calm day where I don't feel like doing anything but just laying and appreciating nature. And it may not make sense in the physical world, but what's making sense in the physical world anymore? So you have to outlie. You have to, like, figure out how you feel around in this new reality. And a lot of people are having trouble with current events. And a lot of people are having different sensations. Like, when the world got quarantined, for me, the earth let out a big sigh. Like it could finally rest for a little minute. It's like it had all these itching parasites running all over it. And now they were all at rest. And it could breathe. And nature could breathe. And it could get a break from just the busy, itchy energy of a male-dominant society. In the fifth dimension, it's not as much about doing. It's about being. You know, we're called human beings, but all we do is do. We should have been called human doings. But that's a clue to what we're supposed to be doing, is just being. And sometimes your kid doesn't want to do his chores, or sometimes you don't want to stick to the schedule. That's because you're listening and you're to a higher sense of what's important. And sometimes when you're doing nothing, you're doing the most you possibly could, because what you're doing is recalibrating to a higher vibration, a higher consciousness. You're learning to plug into the perceptions of the fifth dimension. And sometimes the people who get the most done and who are doing, are avoiding being. So in the third dimension, if you didn't do things, they would degenerate. I think that's the definition of entropy. It's like, even if you leave things alone, they're going to like get messy and stuff if you don't give them attention constantly. In the fifth dimension, it's the opposite. And that's what we're getting to. In the fifth dimension, if you don't address things, they clear themselves up. They regenerate, not degenerate. And that's a huge shift that people are getting used to. But that's a huge shift that's going on worldwide. And it's creating a chaos in our ways, because that shift has to happen. And we're experiencing that shift in how we think, feel, do. And the thing about the third dimension and the human consciousness is that humans interpret an experience as a negative. I don't know if it's just conditioning from all these lifetimes of being trained to do that, or if it's part of the third dimension reality. But in the fifth dimension, You can take the same experience and register it as a positive. And you can almost see that with the pandemic that's been going on. Some people are like fervently like afraid and worried and hoarding. And some people are just enjoying the break. They're relaxing. They're expanding what I call relaxing their atoms, which means they're expanding their consciousness. Because when you're always doing, you harden your molecular structure and you make yourself rigid. And you have all this space of your energy field, which you can make your energy field as big as you want. I make mine as big as, bigger than the earth. And so you can be felt or feel what's happening in the earth. And that's what empaths are. People who've made their energy field so big that it overlays the earth and they can feel the experience of other beings in the earth. And so in the third dimension, you're doing and making yourself really rigid. So you're not really tapping into all that you are as an energy being. And in the fifth dimension, you relax your atoms. And we do it like, take a deep breath. Just sink into the moment. And in the third dimension, we did this through meditation. But now the mental realms are so rigid and heavy that for a lot of us, it doesn't get us to where we need to go. It just gets us into a very busy, very polluted mental realm. The subtle energies can be polluted too, not just the earth and the water and the air, but actually the psychic energies are definitely polluted, and the mental energies and etheric energies. So part of what I do as a shaman is I use my awareness and understanding of this to help people use their mind stuff to clear out the psychic energies, the mental energies, the etheric energies, the causal energies, and to clear them so people who don't know better are not going around and breathing in all these energetic toxins. I mean, that's what all the political rhetoric and all the advertisement and all the subtle messages to control you are and do. They linger in the psychic realms. And when you sleep or when you're not conscious, they seep in. And they become part of the choices that you have. And the more pollution in that area, the more they'll control you. They'll control what you think, believe, do. And the more rigid you are in what you believe and think, the more these energies are controlling you. They're a part of you. So the SFT taps that I give to people are a form of cleansing out these energies in their energy field and in the world. And allowing them to grasp the dynamic being that they are. We're all omnipotent beings. But somewhere along the way, in our history, maybe in the beginning when star people came and inbred with humans, they decided that they weren't going to allow us to feel or experience or even know ourselves as the omnipotent beings that we are. Maybe in that time it was of best interest. I mean, still we see people wanting to go around, and not so much now because of the clearings that we've done, but people up to a couple years ago wanted to go around and create these wars. Well, you notice you don't hear too much about wars anymore or killings. It's these psychic energies are being cleared out through the SFT tappings. And it's not just me making an agenda. There's no agenda. It's just clearing out the stagnant energies of power and abuse and manipulation. No matter what word that you give it in the third dimension, it's stagnant energy. And you can choose the stagnant energy that resonates with you. Trafficking, child abuse, pedophilia, rape, neglect, anger. And you can choose that form of stagnant energy that's permeated this world and use the energetic cleanse on my website, Genuine Healing with a J, and extract all the stagnant energy that you can out of the subtle energies using that exercise. Now, true, people who use it to begin with usually use it to clear out their own aberrations, like past trauma, or they want to find love, or they want to be free of a abusive partner. But that's okay. The SFT taps is the quickest, most efficient way to take someone who's in the third dimension, trapped in the third dimension, and train them to be an omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent being. It's the quickest way. And it blows my mind that I've been the one able to present this to the world. I mean, I know what I've been through personally. But when it's you personally, you never think that you're good enough. You never think that you could possibly do something so important that it could help other people. I mean, in the third dimension, who's even thinking about other people? It takes a lot of pain, a lot of resilience, and a lot of fortitude to break out of the conditioning of the third dimension. And many of us have had that pain. And it's not a punishment. That's what we believe in the third dimension. But from the understanding of a fifth dimension, it was training. It was a blessing. Because the third dimension is so one of enslavement. And the fifth dimension is so one of freedom. So how do you get everyone from enslavement to freedom? You can do everything that you can for them. Energetically, physically, emotionally, mentally. But the quickest way is to train them to take back their own power, their own energy. Take it back as an individual. and hold space in this reality, this world, for calm, for peace, for joy, for love, for abundance. How much have we been trained that we're not worthy of abundance, or not worthy of love, or not worthy of joy? That's the conditioning. That's what we're moving through. And so what you need to do is move through that stagnant energy of unworthiness. Well, you can have affirmations all that you want. You can have people fawn all over you and tell you how wonderful you are. But unless you remove that stagnant energy of unworthiness from your energy field, you're not going to believe it. And you see this in people who should be self-contained, who are in a position of power or leadership, who should just know that they're worthy. And if they still have that stagnant energy in their energy field, then they don't believe. They're not awakened. You have to extract all of that unworthiness, all that stagnant energy, no matter what your label for it is. And you have to extract that stagnant energy from your energy field to be comfortable in the moment. So many people are not comfortable in the moment, because when they're in the moment, they're holding space for all this stagnant, ugly energy that has defined them through the abuse of many lifetimes. So you can meditate all you want, but if you're sitting in a pool of unworthiness, it's not going to feel comfortable being in the moment. And many of us can't do that. We can't separate from the stagnant energy that has gotten us to the point of being aware enough at the fifth dimension. So it takes a lot of breaking the conditioning. We've been conditioned many lifetimes to not stand out in a crowd or you'll be tortured, to not show up as truth, or you'll be, the power mongers will be jealous of you and make an example of you. Or even not show up as beautiful, or you will be raped of your beauty or sacrificed for your beauty. All these things that went into our past lifetimes have left their mark in our energy field. I call them engrams. And they're etched in our energy field. And I can read them. And anyone who can read Akashic Records. And more people read Akashic Records than they realize. We make it so lofty and so highfalutin that it's like, oh, I could never read Akashic Records. Of course you can. If you get a sense about someone, you read in their Akashic Records. If you have a feeling whether you like a person or don't like them, or you get a sense of their insecurities, whatever it is, if it's not coming from what they exactly look like, then you're reading their energy. And so we learn to draw upon the subtleties. Love at first sight is recognizing someone from your past. Everybody thinks that love at first sight would be a good thing. But this fear that I have had is the man who abused me and locked me up for a year. If I see him in the next lifetime, will I be attracted to him because I just remember him and think it's a good thing to go to him? We have to think about these things. We have been conditioned since the moment we've been born. Are you a boy or a girl? You have had to have this label put on you. And so, either you're a boy or you're a girl. Either you like pink or you like blue. And in that label, we accrue other labels on us. Oh, he's a good eater. Oh, she's fussy. Whatever it is, and those things define us. If you take away the labels, if you didn't know if a child was a boy or a girl, that child would have more freedom within the gradients. And in the fifth dimension, you'll see that more in people. That's why transgender people are so beautiful. They are of the fifth dimension. Because they're not labeling their energy as male or female. In lifetimes, we vacillate between a male existence and a female. And sometimes we'll take a stint at a male lifetimes for many lifetimes. And then we have to go into the female lifetimes for a few lifetimes. And so sometimes when we've been into an incarnation of like male for many lifetimes, then when we're put into a female body, we think that that's wrong because we are in the habit of being in male bodies. So it feels uncomfortable. So then in this society, because we have to choose one, we start self-loathing. We can't think of ourselves as a female expression in a male body because that in the past has created a lot of issues. So then we self-mutilate. We take medications to choose a different experience. When it's not, I don't want to invalidate anybody's experience at the third dimension. But at the fifth dimension, it's not necessary. You can love all parts of you. If you have female anatomy and male anatomy. Or if you resonate as male or you resonate as female, it doesn't matter what the anatomy is. There's a beautiful blend emerging. And it's a higher expression of love because it's not defined by the labels. And the more we become relaxed with people not being one gender or another, the more we can relax in our own skin. Because we don't have to choose either then. So the transgender people are beautiful expressions of higher consciousness. And in the fifth dimension, that's very welcomed. And the third dimension, it's ridiculed or rejected. So you can tell if people are closer to the third dimension or the fifth dimension by their rigidity or their openness. And the more open you can be, the more you can sit back and look at your own reactions. Why am I reacting this way? Why does it matter? So much of what we do is reactionary. And if you can detach from those reactions and look at yourself in the moment, we don't like to scrutinize ourselves because we're afraid that in the third dimension, that we'll fail. There's no failure in the fifth dimension. There just isn't because we're all connected. And what you're feeling is valid because that feeling goes into the collective. So if I can help you in releasing your feelings of failure, which I do by offering you the SFT technique that you can use. If I can help you get over whatever is holding you back from enjoying the moment, then I'm helping you to transcend and to come back on all levels to the collective. Now, there's this interesting oxymoron that goes on in life, is that the human experience is one where most people, if they're reflective, feel rejected, abandoned, isolated, and it's almost like on purpose to help them feel unworthy and powerless. Because in the fifth dimension, we are so connected. It's so important what the other being is experiencing, because we experience it too. It's almost like all of us have such a big energy field. All of us have our energy field overlay on top of each other, or on top of the earth. And it's like, if you want there to be no suffering in the fifth dimension, because when someone else suffers, I feel the suffering. When someone else is hungry, I feel the hunger. When someone else is sad, it lends to the collective a sadness. So the more that you can ease the suffering, the sadness, the unworthiness, the feelings of rejected in the whole and individuals, the more the whole can be empowered. So the SFT taps are so powerful, and the fact that when we empower each individual and help them feel comfortable in the moment where they don't have that stagnant energy weighing them down in the fifth dimension, it's like all their angst and pain is nailing them into the third dimension. And as they remove their angst and pain, unworthiness, feeling of isolation and abandonment, the more it unhinges them from the third dimension, and then they can feel a sense of self in the fifth dimension. And so the human experience in the third dimension is a feeling of abandonment, a rejection, and worthlessness. But that's what has bound us together, because as the human experience, that's universal. And the more that we can help these individuals unhinge from that experience, the more we can awaken to our own empowerment even more. Now, this is an antithesis to what's happening in the third dimension. The third dimension properties and power mongers are trying to control you more than ever. They want the experience to stay in the third dimension. So they'll inflict fear. And even as people awaken, they'll start to inflict fear on other ones as a way to wake them up. Like with the whole political thing about science and the pandemic and conspiracy theories. People are waking up to the truth of the reality of the third dimension. But what they're doing with that information is they're inflicting it back on individuals and on groups, and they're actually inflicting fear back on others. They're not actually helping them to wake up as much as they think. I get bombarded with messages of, oh, what's going on in the world? There's a secret lab, and they're trying to do this to us. Of course they are. Of course they are. That's what power does. It tries to diminish, belittle, control, and enslave. And the fact that you're being knee-jerked around now with this information is evidence that you're still being controlled. Because looking for answers in a world of lies is a lateral move. It's lateral. You're not going to find truth on the internet. You're not going to find truth in one of these articles about secret labs. The way you're going to find truth is by tapping into direct knowingness. Your higher consciousness knows all the answers. Your higher consciousness knows all the answers. So while you're looking at articles on the internet and sending them to everybody else and scaring them. I mean, I'm guilty of that a little bit, but I send along SFT taps to free people's energy. If you want to know, if you have a reaction to anything and you start to get alarmist, do SFT taps, do the energetic cleanse on whatever the subject matter is. And you'll feel so much better and you'll actually have physical reactions. You'll get anxious. You'll get tongue-tied. You'll get angry. You'll get resistant. You'll yawn a lot. You'll burp and fart a lot. Whatever the reaction is, it's because there's a shift in energy happening in your energy system. And lots of people feel better immediately by doing a set of taps. And it's because they took the initiative and they took all their angst that they were feeling, and instead of sending an article to other people and inflicting that fear onto them under the guise of waking them up, they sit with themselves, they do the work to remove the stagnant energy, which is elicited all the fear and angst. And they're actually dissipating that energy. And the more people do that, they can do it for themselves, they can do it for their families, they can do it as a surrogate for humanity, they can do it for a group. They dissipate a lot of the stagnant energy within those things. And it just evaporates and converts back into the calm, higher love. Now, love as an energy is calm and peaceful. It only gets excited and warm, fuzzy feeling when it's flushed through the hormonal system of the body. But in the fifth dimension, love is the atmosphere. It's a goodwill. It's a calm, peaceful experience. And if you want to tap into that calm, you can go sit with a tree. Trees are higher beings, and they're right in front of our face, all over the place. And you can perceive an energy by listening to a tree. Or getting to know what it feels like to be a tree. Or talking to a tree. Now, trees aren't stagnant energy out there in the yard. Trees are sentient beings. They're actually moving and undulating as you look at them. And the only reason you don't see that is because your brain has filtered out the movements of a tree. But if you can sit there and just stare at a tree and commune with a tree, you might start to see the undulations. It's kind of like on a windy day, but different, but with a calm. So it's kind of like how flora under the water undulates. That's how trees undulate. And if you awaken your higher eyes and stop looking through the physical eyes, but look kind of like stare obliquely, you'll start to see the undulation of the tree. And it's it's an experience. And so that's a way to commune in fifth dimension. And once you understand to perceive an energy like a tree, you can communicate with other beings that perceive an energy. Animals perceive an energy. People, you know, call me an animal communicator or a tree whisperer or whatever. But I merely do one thing. I perceive an energy. And when you perceive an energy, you know. You know when someone's lying. You know when someone's telling the truth. You know things. And you can't articulate it because we don't have a vernacular for explaining how you know. But it's kind of like when you know someone comes in the room and you know they're in a bad mood. They didn't say they were in a bad mood, but you can tell by subtle senses, like they just breathing heavy or they're angry, or you just get a sense about them. Especially if you've been around an abusive person. If you've been around an abusive person, you can see an abusive person when you see one. If you've been around someone who abuses alcohol, you can see when someone's abusing alcohol. You get a sense of it. You've been perceiving an energy, probably for survival reasons. But now you can do it. And you can't explain to others in the third dimension how you know. Well, you can say subtle things like, I smell it on their breath, or they're talking funny. But you don't need them to breathe on you, and you don't need them to talk for you to know that they've abused alcohol. You know it. You don't need someone to talk to tell you, I'm an angry person. I am angry. No, you can tell. The more that we pay attention to everything around us, the more we sit in that sweet pocket of the moment. And in the fifth dimension, when you sit in the moment, you don't have to do anything. The world comes and revolves around you because you're an omniscient being. And everything you need for your experiences in life rotate around you. You are the sun of its orbitational pull. So you need to not do anything in the fifth dimension. And just allow yourself to be and allow the experiences to come to you. In the third dimension, we don't even sit in our center. We have to go out and do. And that's a form of enslavement, because when you come out of your center, you are not as effective because you're not tapped into all the energies that you have at your disposal. Someone who's very successful in the third dimension has learned to operate while sitting in that pocket of knowingness. Think of any sports star, any musician, anyone who knows their craft or is confident. What they do is they're moving around, okay, in the third dimension rules, but they're also sitting in that pocket of knowingness. There's a confidence. There's an essence to them. That's because when you're in the knowing, in the moment, you tap into this reserve of energy. It's almost like by sitting in the moment, you turn on the spigot and you become a fountainhead of knowingness. You become a fountainhead of joy, love, abundance, freedom, health, success, and wholeness. And everyone around you gravitates to that because they're not in their fountainhead. So everyone's thirsty for this truth that emanates out of someone who's sitting in that moment. In the fifth dimension, we all sit in the moment. And in the fifth dimension, we're all outflowing. We want to help other people sit in the moment because that expands consciousness and it's better for all. In the third dimension, some benefit from taking the energy of all others, and most suffer from it. But in the fifth dimension, since we perceive an energy, we perceive when everything is calm and everyone is nurtured, loved, and satiated. And that expands our consciousness because it creates this calm within ourselves. It opens the flow to our perpetual joy, love, abundance, freedom, wholeness, ourselves. And it widens the spigot of the flow of perpetual love that we can have flowing outside of us, through us and outside of us. So as others are turned on, connected to their spigot, and they become a fountainhead of love and truth, it allows everyone to widen the girth of their pipeline to love and truth, and it expands consciousness. And the whole way to do that is to turn off the taking. We've all been trained to take. I mean, look at our holidays. We train our children, oh, it's all about you. Taking presents, taking candy. You, you're so cute. That's wrong. It's teaching them wrong. The best thing that can happen for a child is for that not to happen to them. And that they learn to outflow. The most helpful human beings are the ones who have not been trained to take, but learned to outflow, learn to give, learn to be helpful to others. Because it doesn't matter what way they give, they're turning their spigot on. Instead of being a succubus for energy to come in and get used, they become helpful energy for others to draw upon. And since there's been so few who have had their outflow there, that they have felt violated, or too many people come to drink at them and pull and take at them. That's because there's too many people who have been trained to take. And so the best thing you can do is to teach other people to go from taking to giving. So I want to lead you through one SFT tap so it can help this process happen. I'll give you the statement to say. You'll say it 3 times while tapping continuously on the top of your head, and the 4th time while tapping on your chest. And it's this statement. I shift my paradigm from taking to giving in all moments. Okay, ready? I shift my paradigm from taking to giving in all moments. I shift my paradigm from taking to giving in all moments. I shift my paradigm from taking to giving in all moments. Take a deep breath. Now let's do that more for the world. We shift the world's paradigm from taking to giving in all moments. We shift the world's paradigm from taking to giving in all moments. We shift the world's paradigm from taking to giving in all moments. We shift the world's paradigm from taking to giving in all moments. We shift the world's paradigm from taking to giving in all moments. Take a deep breath. So, thank you for listening, and I hope that you have comfort that there's factions moving in the world to assist humanity in transcending totally to the fifth dimension. We're already there. We just have to let go of our creature comforts of the habitual things of negativities and awaken to the expansiveness of our own omnipotence. And you're so close, you're so close, you're so close. I love you all.